Chapter 4, Part 2. Map firmly placed on my lap, I paddled east and turned south when the lake was reached. The shoreline was followed until a channel was spotted. As we turned into the channel, I noted that the lodge disappeared. It had been several years since I had last been here, so that was possible, I reasoned. I scanned the map, looking for identifiable landmarks, but found none. Curious. Even though it was possible that the lodge had burned down, it did seem strange that the topography had changed also. Just where are those first rapids, thought I. After an hour paddling, we spotted a hydro corridor up ahead. Now that was a readily identifiable landmark. It helped me to know with complete certainty that we were off course again. Oh, we were now in the north channel of the French River. Must have missed that on the map, I murmured. Good grief, what could I tell the campers? It was now 6 p.m., and everyone was desperately tired. We needed to make camp now. Taking a deep breath, I told everyone to stop paddling and to gather around. I then confessed that I had led them astray again. The reaction was calm for about 2 seconds, and then the hitherto peaceful evening erupted into screaming, crying, and grumbling. Most said that they could not carry on. In a typical girl-like fashion, all the girls flopped to the ground to emphasize the fact. We decided to make camp there. We all needed time to reflect and to regroup. That night, after everyone had bedded down, I sat by the campfire, stirring the embers. I felt dejected and alone. What had started as an exciting adventure had turned into a horrible ordeal. Here we were, at the end of our first day, 10 kilometers from our first night's proposed campsite, having already paddled an additional 10 kilometers off course. As I sat there reflecting on the day's events, a quiet, gentle voice was speaking to my heart. As often happens when the depths are reached, I was finally able to hear that quiet voice. The Lord is patient, but polite. He seems to wait for us to listen before he speaks. I brokenheartedly confessed my prideful ways, my desire to do this all on my own, and my complete exclusion of him from my plans. With confession came forgiveness and a feeling that I was not as alone as I thought. I might not have been alone, but I was still aware that we were in a mess and was at a loss to know what to do about it. I pleaded, God, what can I do now? We will never make our pickup point on time. Please help me. The word says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:6-7. With a new resolve in my head and peace in my heart, I was able to face the campers in the morning. Oh, I still had to hear the moans and endure the barbs, but these were the natural consequences of my actions. God never said that he would bail me out of all of them. Rats. We started the morning with prayer, real prayer this time, and presented our need for God's help to get us to our rendezvous place on time. We asked that our attitudes and actions would honor him. Taking up our paddles again, we traveled back down the North Channel, turned south, and carefully followed the shoreline until the South Channel was reached. Amazingly enough, there was a landmark that I had been looking for all along, the lodge on the southern shore, the entrance to the South Channel, and a small set of rapids. Well, girls, looks like we're at these rapids, and let's see if we can shoot them. So we all excitedly beached our canoes and walked the length of the rapids, picking a path. That was the beginning of a fun and successful day of running whitewater. The Lord blessed us with not having to portage around any of the rapids. I had fully expected to have to portage around some of these rapids, or at least to line our canoes through them. Lining was a process of walking on the shore, holding onto the ropes of your canoe while it floated down through the chutes and around the rocks. It was a fun activity, but really slows you down. Instead, we were able to paddle them all. At the end of the second day, we had reached our proposed campsite for that day, despite the much longer paddle. The neat thing was that everyone knew that this was God's doing. Our eyes were open to his work in our circumstances, and we praised him for the answer to prayer. We all sat around the campfire that night, reviewing the day's paddle, thanking God for his care and for the progress that we'd made. The rest of the canoe trip was much like that second day. Obstacles were tackled with prayerful expectation that God, if asked, would intervene for us. The trip ended with a boast from the girls that they had seen God at work and that they really were the most robust trippers that had ever gone to Northwoods because they had paddled twice as far as anybody else had ever done on this particular trip. Instead of dejection, recriminations, and defeat, I saw rejoicing and a new awareness of God's presence. We need to learn to evaluate our motives for doing good works. God will use our efforts to reach and teach others when we sincerely do these activities for Him. Our pride can divert our efforts from serving God and others by serving ourselves. Beware of pride. Scripture says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4.